In the spirit of self-deprecation, I'd like to begin with one of my classic self-deprecating stories. So, I tore my quad tendon twice. Once in 2017 and once in 2018. The same quad tendon. So if you ever seen me in shorts, there's a huge scar on my knee. That's what it's from. So when I tore it the first time, is that Jesus calling? It's okay. Jesus calls at the most inopportune times for us. That's the beauty of Jesus. So I tore my quad, and as it healed, it didn't feel like it healed right. And the second I got clearance to start doing stuff, I started doing stuff, and lo and behold, it tears again. This time, the same doctor, same orthopedic surgeon, looks at me and says, again? And I said, well, maybe you didn't do your job right the first time. Not something to say when you're under anesthesia, you can't remember anything, and he has a knife, right? Not one of my smarter moments. But anyway, he doubly reinforced it, and I was ready to go. And then he said, this time I want you to go to rehab. And I said, sure, gladly. Now, I am working at this time. I'm serving in church. I'm going to school. The boys are really, really young. Rose has responsibilities as well. So I go to rehab all of one time. I'm busy. I got a lot of things to do. But when I get there the first time, I'm moving, I'm pedaling, I'm walking. I've got great flexibility, all that wonderful stuff. And I said to myself, well, I mean, if I've got all this wonderful stuff, then I can just heal on my own. And it'll be fine. Needless to say, this quad has never been the same, and it will never be the same, because you can't just take almost 40 years of muscle and muscle memory and movement and think that it will just get back to where it was without work. But the problem was, I stopped before the process was complete. I was scheduled for 12 rehab sessions. I did one. I stopped before the process was complete because my distorted view of my body led me to make a wrong choice. I guess you can see where I'm going with this, right? Processes. Processes are all around us, right? The definition of process is a series of decisions and steps involved in the way something can be completed. Right? So processes, if you think about it, you wake up and you have a routine. That's a process. Right? Some of us have the same morning routine that we've had for decades. We brush our teeth at the same time. We go in the same order of shower, brush teeth, bathroom, all that same stuff. Raise your hand if you got that process down pat. Yeah, a lot of us, right? But processes are necessary, because they get us from a place of nothing being done to a place of completion. Emphasis on completion. You cannot stop a process in the middle and expect to have great results. Right? Now, I'm going to go extreme, and then I'll tone it down a little bit. You cannot, in the middle of surgery, have the doctor stop the process and expect that you're going to have great results, right? Pretty bad results. You can't, if you're going through the process of treatment for chemotherapy, for cancer, or something like that, you can't stop in the middle and expect great results, right? Even if you're cooking Thanksgiving dinner, you cannot stop your turkey in an hour and a half and say, I'm done. And then serve it to people and expect to have great results, right? I mean, we're coming up to Thanksgiving, every wonderful Thanksgiving show with cold frozen turkeys or a bleeding turkey, we'll see in a couple of weeks. But the truth is the truth. The process has to go its entire way for completion. But the problem is, you and I, starting with me, we do just what I did with my leg. We say to ourselves, maybe midway, beginning, or maybe we won't even start. We just say, you know what, I'm fine. We don't have to do this. Instead of letting the process go, we say to ourselves, you know what, I'm cool. I got it. We don't have to go through all of these steps. I'm fine. We're fine. No need to go any further. But again, if you don't go through the process, you never get to completion. What do I mean by this? All right, Jimmy, I'm going down. So, our scripture for today, we find a blind man, right? And this blind man is unique, and the healing story is unique. Why is the blind man unique? Well, the blind man is unique because he doesn't go to Jesus himself. Usually in blind stories, there's somebody waiting on the side of the road. He says, "Have mercy on me, son of David," right? And then Jesus hears his cry and says, "Okay, you, I'll stop by. Here you go. You're healed. Keep on moving." Not this story. What's special about this story? What's special is, one, the guy's brought to Jesus, which means that somebody leads the blind man on the path to healing. But if you keep reading, you realize that when Jesus heals him, what does he do first? He leads him away. See, people can bring you to Christ, but to be healed, to have the relationship with Christ, sometimes Christ leads us away, so we have to develop our own relationship. My grandmother brought me to faith, but somewhere along the line, Jesus had to take me from my grandmother and allow me to develop a relationship of my own. I can preach to you every Sunday, but ultimately, you have to be led by the hand to Christ to develop your own relationship with him during the week. Right? So now, here he goes. Jesus takes him by the side. And what does he do? He spits on him. Now, I'm from New York City. Heavy Italian mafia presence. You spit in somebody's eye, that's a problem. But back in the day, the Jews believed that spit provided healing powers. Yes, that somehow, and spit is blood and all these other wonderful things that can be used to heal people. To us, it's gross, absolutely. 2,000 years ago, probably not so. But Jesus spits on him and rubs his eyes and says, "What do you see?" He says, "I see men, but they look like trees." Usually healing stories happens one time, sins are forgiven, whoop. But no, this time, healing was a process. Right? Now, from being blind to seeing men that kind of look like trees is a very big step. Right? Close your eyes. Okay? You see nothing, right? Now, rub your eye a little bit, then open it. A little bit blurry, right? Distorted a little bit, but still better than nothing. Right? It would have been easy for him to just say, "You know what? Nah, I see okay enough. Hey, thanks, Jesus," and keep it moving. Because that's exactly what I did with my leg. I didn't let the process happen. I got to a place where it was just good enough, and I kept going. How many of us stop the process and just settle for good enough? Right? Well, I'm not fully happy, but I'm happy enough. Well, I read a little bit, and then I pray in a little bit, I study a little bit. But maybe not enough. Right? I'm happy. Everything is cool. My job is all right. My family's all right. All right, all right, all right. And we settle for all right. God promises us abundant life, but we settle for enough. But Jesus doesn't stop there. The process has to continue. So what does Jesus do? He touches him again. And then, after the second time, now he sees clearly. Not a little bit, not semi-okay, not enough to get by, but clearly. Because he allowed the process to happen. Sometimes you and I, well, not sometimes, but more often than not, you and I are our own worst enemy. And we see, not in clarity, but we see in distorted images. When we look at our families, when we look at our relationships, when we look at our church, when we look everywhere. Have you ever looked at something and just gone, right? Think about it. Oh, her again. Oh, she does the same thing all the time, over and over. Oh, this church does the same thing over and over and over. We don't do anything. We don't go anywhere. We're not growing. Are you seeing things clearly? Or are you seeing a distorted image of what is there? Well, how do you know? How do we know? How do I know, Richard, if I'm seeing clearly or if I'm seeing a distortion? The process of what you see and how you see it. Where are you in that process? Are you allowing God to develop your spiritual eyes so that you don't see problems, but you see solutions? Or are your eyes still distorted where all you see is trouble instead of a platform for victory? It's easy for us to say, this is this. But if our images are distorted, if we can't see the beauty in things, then what are we truly seeing? Now let's turn it on ourselves. When you look at yourself in the mirror every day, what do you see? Do you see somebody who is allowing the process to continue to sanctify them, to continue to move to be like Christ? Or are you the same person who's always the downer? Are you the person who's not nice to people? Are you the person who doesn't see any beauty or validity in anything? Or are you somebody who's just cool with looking at men that look like trees? Where is the fullness of what God has for us? It's trapped by our distorted views, or it's trapped by our apathy and our acceptance of things that aren't the way they should be. Everything is a process. Okay? This month, Bruce came, smacked us. Now we're on the road to healing, right? Healing is a process. What's your part in the process? My marriage is not the best every single day of the week. In my mind, maybe I may be better on my own. Is that me or is that a distorted image? Because to me, hey, I'm not 40 yet. Can I have me some fun? I see my kids on the weekend. And I can live my life 5 days a week. Now, to some people, that may look great, but that's not the truth. Because we don't see the pain. We don't see the anger. We don't see the frustration because our images are distorted. Have you ever looked in a dim mirror before? Have you ever gone into a hall of mirrors before? How many images can you see in a hall of mirrors? Which one is the real one? How would you know? The process has to be continuously worked out in us. How I saw things at 29, I don't see at 39. We see people as problems. God sees them as solutions. teachers, the very same students who got on your nerves, who seemed like they wouldn't amount to nothing, is me. If you would have saw me in seventh grade, oh, golly. It's a distorted image. That same dude who is on the street, or the same kids who've now infiltrated our neighborhood, a little crazy, even the little fools in elementary school that my kids are in class with. It seems like, oh, they're not good for anything. But it's not true. Because the process has not worked out itself in them. And the process has not worked itself out in us. Who you are right now is not who you're going to be in a year if the Lord spares our lives. Where do our views come from? Our politics. Where do they come from? Our view of America. Where do these things come from? Do they come from a process that's been worked out, or does it come from a distorted view? I challenge you to go spend some time thinking about your view on things and where it comes from. Are you looking at trees, or are you looking with clarity? Has the process been worked out in you? Last story. Any basketball fans? Oh, boy. Okay. Tough room. Well, there's a basketball team called the Philadelphia 76ers. They were one of the worst teams in the NBA. I mean, terrible. Kind of like the Atlanta Braves of basketball. Ooh. Sorry. I'm kidding. I know the Braves won last year. I'm just kidding. But the 76ers were the worst team. Right? Coach after coach, fired. No one would come to a game. It was terrible. So they hire a little guy. Little guy's not a basketball guy. He's a numbers guy. And he says, you know what we should do? We should really just lean into losing. You know why? Because when you lose, you get a better draft pick. Right? And the best draft picks are the ones with the most potential. So he said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to spend 4 straight years losing. Because if we lose, maybe we'll strike gold and get a number one pick. Or maybe 2 number one picks. Or 3 number one picks. And so tanking is illegal in sports, but we know people do it all the time. So this is kind of an illegal process. But they did this for 4 years. And they dubbed the name of this the process. And from that tanking, they ended up with 1 number one draft pick, 1 number 3 draft pick, 1 number 5 draft pick. And in 4 years, they went from losing to a perennial powerhouse and playoff contender every year. Now, in that 4 years, can't you imagine how many people on talk radio and all their fans were like, why are we losing? Why are we losing? Why are we losing? And everyone just kept saying, trust the process. And then in time, they went from basement dwellers to championship contenders. The process is long, it's hard, it's difficult. Sometimes we don't want to lean into it. It's not what we want. We want results, we want this, we want that. But what we want is secondary to what God's will is for our lives and for the people around us. So we have to trust the process. Things don't look great right now. Trust the process. I'm not the person I want to be. Trust the process. Things look like America looks like it's going to the toilet. Trust the process. Because God is not a God of confusion. God is not a God that wants us to live half alive. Jesus says, I have come to give you life, so that you may have it more abundantly. fix your eyes not on what's bad, not on what it may seem, but fix your eyes on the possibility of what God can do once God touches something. And stop settling for a distorted view of things. Yes, the tree, the men who look like trees is better than nothing at all. But you know what's even better than men who look like trees? Seeing with clarity. That's our job. Not to get here and talk about what's bad. Give it time. Imagine if the blind man walks away. How can he be bad? How can he be mad at his sight? Because you know what? That's what happens. Okay, I'm done. I'll just say this last thing. He sees the distorted image and he walks away. And he's fine, right? He's gonna be fine for a while. Right? Oh, trees, okay. Oh, that's a donkey, looks like a dog. Okay, fine. You know, I can't see everything I want, but you know what, it's okay. How long will that last before he's upset that he's not seeing what he wanted to see? Quickie fixes never work. We're happy for a time, and then it goes away. Stay the course, though. And then clarity comes. We need patience. And we need to stop settling. If it takes a million times for Jesus to spit on us to get where we need to go, then guess what? Spit on me. I know that sounds gross. I'm sorry. But however long it takes for God to finish and complete the work in us, we have to be ready for. And this is a message and a lesson for you and more for me. Because some days I get up and I'm just like, I'm done, y'all. I can't. All of this is too hard. And I'm talking about life. Because with a distorted view, if I just reprioritize, get rid of this, change this, I'll be fine. But the truth is, I won't be, because I know what's possible. Lean into what's possible in your life. Lean into what's possible in this church. Lean into what's possible in your family. Lean into what's possible everywhere. We don't have to talk about what's not. Every day is what's not, 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 not. What's possible? Guess what? With Christ, Mark 9, all things are possible. Let us pray. Lord, we want to see what you have for us. We want to see the beauty of your salvation. We want to see the glory of your resurrection. We want to see what abundant life looks like. No longer do we want to settle for being half of ourselves, half alive, half successful. But we want it all. And Lord, if we are our greatest enemy, if we are impatient through the process, forgive us and bless us with patience. If we have allowed our distorted view to impede the process, show us a new vision. Lead us away as you led the blind man, Christ. Lead us to a time of healing, to a time of blessing, to a time of abundance. And Lord, if we try to walk away when it's half done, grab us up and hold us so we can't leave. Help us not to see the trees, but to see men. Not to see the church distorted, but to see it with clarity. Not to see the people around us distorted, but to see them with clarity. Not to see the future distorted, but to see it with clarity, so that we know the true nature of what things are. Forgive us for living in a world of distortion. Bring us into your marvelous light so we can see things the way you see them. 2020. Bless us in Christ's name, we pray. Amen.